away we go. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, October the 10th, 2025, exactly 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And so glad to be joined in the studio by Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship, as we are each and every week, for a good discussion of things going on in the world, sometimes singular issues, but it's always a good conversation from 11:15 to 12 every week. Pastor Whitaker, how are you? It's Friday again.
I'm glad to be here. How's that?
I'm glad to have
you
here.
In many ways.
Yes.
Not just in the studio, but I'm just glad to be here.
Above ground, moving around, the whole thing.
You know, last week we talked about, or I opened by talking about we were going to have our day in the park on Sunday, and we did. And first of all, the fire department had their open house, Battle Run did, and that went very well. They had probably better attendance they've had in years. And we had a really great attendance in the park. You know, like I said, you know, we had food and bounce houses and games and crafts. And we had a lady come that does face painting, and it's the first time we've ever actually paid for someone to do that. Usually it's just some of the girls in the church will do it. Man, this lady was amazing. I mean, she painted, I saw this kid, she painted a shark's head over his eye with one jaw. The top jaw above his eyebrow and the bottom one under his eye. And when the kid would blink, the shark would open and close his mouth. It made us lady, this is pretty cool. But no, we had a really good time, and it was a great turnout. And just a fun day. We pressed about 8 bushels of apples for cider, and just, you know, that usual stuff that we do, and try to talk to people, encourage people. Actually, I had I've got an injury on my knee from playing softball this year, and I jumped off some hay bales after I was here last week, same day, and knowing better, and so I wasn't walking real well on Sunday, so I actually spent most of the day pretty much stationary talking to anybody that showed up that would talk to me, but now it was a great day. How are you doing? You guys doing good?
Everything's good. It's been a busy week, but a good week, and I honestly like that the weather has changed a little bit.
Me too.
It feels like October now. I think summer's great, and it's great to live in the Midwest where we have four seasons, but this one went on about 2 weeks longer than normal, and I'm glad that these temperatures have come.
I'm trying to batten the hatches a little bit. I've got what I mean by that is I've always had a lot of animals and some livestock, and you know, in the wintertime, you know, they got to have water, they got to feed, they got to be warm, and that takes a lot of extra work. And this winter I'm going to try to pretty much eliminate that and get back to just like normal people that stay in the house and when it's really bad out and do what they're going to do instead of going, oh boy, here we go. But, yeah, it's been an interesting week. Last week, of course, we did talk about, if anyone remembers, I want to encourage you that we talked about keeping pornography out of your life. And that's a bipartisan issue, I guess I would say. Everyone can do that. By no means should it be a political issue at all. It should be a personal and moral issue, you know, to keep our kids safe. And we just mentioned before we went on air that we saw another incident this week of it. And I'm getting tired of seeing this week after week. And those little kids, you know, bless their hearts. My heart goes out to them. You know, it really does. It used to be a day, and I was thinking about this the other day. They used to say that if you went to prison and you were someone that had done something to kids, you were in trouble. You're as good as dead, practically. Now there's so much of it that's not the case anymore. You know, you've probably got a pretty good percentage of the guys in prison that's what they're there for. But it's heartbreaking.
Well, it's sad that you know, not that it's good that it would happen in a big city, but, you know, the one we saw yesterday was LaRue, little LaRue, and you think, you know, you're safe over there, but happens everywhere.
It's everywhere. As long as we have... I think, you know, one thing that has really upped the game a little bit in that world is social media and you know, internet, and it just makes everything right at your fingertips. However, I will say something. They do a great job, I think, at monitoring sites. We talked last week, that's how the one young man got caught, was he was on a site that was with children, and man, he was flagged, and it took no time at all for the to be swarmed You know, and matter of fact, this guy was being sought by federal marshals, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think they're really putting a valiant effort out there in the law enforcement side to stop this. But I think in our side of it, we need to step in and say, you know, not in my world. I'm not going to allow it in my house. I'm not going to allow it. You know, I need to talk. And I think something else, too, that we don't seem to do as easily as maybe we should, is we really need to have honest talk with our kids. Now, obviously, especially the younger ones, you can't get real explicit. But you can talk a little bit about stranger danger. Remember, we used to talk about that and things of that nature. So that kids don't just walk up to somebody. And you know, I think one conversation that everyone can have, because you hear over and over again in these cases where the perpetrator or offender will tell a young person, you know, if you tell anyone, I'm going to hurt you or your mom or your dad. Have that conversation with your child, that if anyone ever tells you that, you come and tell me, because they can't do it and it's not going to happen and they're lying to you. Let them know ahead of time. Someone may say that to them, but don't believe it. Come to me anyway. Because if you don't and they hear it, they are going to be afraid for mom and dad or for themselves. It's sad that we got to go to these extents, but we really do.
You know what's interesting? This, when it wasn't anything physically sexual, but somebody who was, I believe, they certainly are underage, let's put it that way, came to me, and I had no knowledge of anything going on, and they said, you know, I just want to let you know that I feel uncomfortable around this person, and this is why I feel uncomfortable around this person. And immediately, as soon as I was done with the conversation, I went to somebody who could deal with that and talk to that other person and get this hammered down, because you cannot waste time. You can't let that go on. But you always do in the back of your mind when you're talking to somebody who's under 18, you always do realize that they're telling you this. This is very difficult for them. And when you immediately run and tell somebody else, they feel a little betrayed, because they think now everybody knows and it embarrasses them. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it. And hopefully you can explain to them, which I did as I was taking them to that other person. I said, this is what has to be done. Nobody, don't feel embarrassed. And, you know.
I'm on the board with our local LifeWise program. And, you know, one of the things you have to do is, before you can even be accepted to be on that, is you have to take sexual abuse training. Of course, I have to take that probably four different times during the year, because we have Trail Life, a program for boys. You have to take it for, on and on. I mean, when you get involved anymore, you take these sexual abuse training programs. And it's very interesting that 90% of sexual abuse is perpetrated by men, and most never get caught. And when they do get caught, it's after they've been doing it for quite some time. And so, you know, there's an amount of awareness we need to have. And also to notice changes in behavior in your kids and kids around you. You know, if they start withdrawing and sometimes getting very quiet, or especially if there's a certain family member, they suddenly don't want to be around, or they don't want to go with them. You know, even if it's a brother or a sister or someone close to you, it can be. So open your, don't be afraid to open your eyes and say, oh, it couldn't be them. No, it can be them. And we don't know what goes on, but I think that, you know, parents out there, guardians, anyone, school teachers, whatever, and school teachers see this every day. I know they do, and they typically are pretty prudent about, you know, going to the next step up, as you did, and saying, hey, maybe we need to look at this a little bit deeper. But there's so much of it. I know that everyone, I always hear, I've heard this so many times, you know, Marion's Children's Services don't do anything. I've heard that, you know, or they just drop the ball. Do you realize the caseloads these people carry? I don't know how they do anything either. Now, I'm sure there's people that just don't do their job. We have that in every field. But I think their caseloads are insane, and I don't know how you follow up on all of them. And we don't have the foster parenting to get a lot of these kids into as easy as we should. And sometimes foster parenting isn't as good. They try to police that well and get them trained well. But like I said, you know, we need to do a course correction in our society when it comes to this stuff.
Well, you know, it's interesting, not just that, but when we're talking about any governmental group that is doing any kind of service, obviously social services would be one of those. You know, when people make the statement that this group is doing this or this group is not doing that, I hope they try to do it illegally. Because try to do it one time, you know, and see if you can get away with it. Now, if you can get away with it, or you can see if you can do their job, then you have the right to complain. But if you can't, then you don't know for sure. You're just going on what you heard. You know, for years, and to me, this is not political, but for years, I heard, you know, oh, you in Marion, you can get the food card without any Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
And try it. Go. I implore you. Drive right out to Community Action. It's on Bell Fountain Avenue. And try to fill out the application without a Social Security card or number and see if you can get a food card. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, we've all heard this our entire lives is if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And a lot of people, that's why talking heads, we're talking heads today, by the way, that's why talking heads get such a bad rap, because many times all they do is talk and they never become part of the solution. And a lot of people will call you out, but do they really look at what you do or what you don't do to help with the problem? I'll give you a good example. Let's just go back to food cards. Yeah, there is abuse of a food card. You know that. Obviously, I've dealt with a lot of people with addiction issues, and they've come right out and told me we sell our food card.
Oh, absolutely.
For drugs. I mean, that's just something they do, and that's why there's the lines. Are you go to that pantry in Prospect across from us at the Lutheran Church on the Thursday they have it every month. Not they have four lines coming into the parking lot that goes down to one line leaving, and then it goes all the way north and out of town. I mean, that's but the point is, a lot of people, and I'm not saying all those people do that, but a lot of people, you know, sell the food card, so then they need food. Now, am I going to complain about that? No, because I can't. I don't think it's right, but somebody needs fed there somewhere. You know, it's the parents that shouldn't be doing what they're doing. But just like, for instance, when I leave here, if you look out the window, my truck is full of boxes of bags of food, and those are for the kids at school that need them this weekend. And I think I've got probably 125 or 30 of them on there right now, and they'll go home with kids that may need them this weekend, and their parents sign up for that, and good. Do I know that all of them need it for sure? No. Do some of them definitely need it? Yes. Is that up to me to worry about it? No. They said they need it, we're going to feed them. So if you're going to complain about things, like you said, you know, try it.
You know what somebody, I don't know if they work at Community Action anymore. They told me that the biggest abuse in the food card program, certainly selling it is a big problem. But they can never really pinpoint how many people are selling it because it's out of their hands at that point.
Right.
But it's not the Social Security thing is a myth here in Marion, Ohio. That's not it. It's not the fact that people don't necessarily need it. It's that people who are eligible do not report the number of people living in their house, because that does change your income structure, which would change what the amount of money you would get. And that's the most underreported crime in it.
So you're saying they report more?
They report less. They say that, you know, because the more income you have coming into your house, the less
income,
money you're going to get.
Income. I thought you meant dependents.
No. You live with your parents, but you're not saying that.
Years ago, I was about your age, Matt, and I was working for this company. And this guy, I can't remember his name. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Bill Coons, that was his name. Bill, if you're still alive, I doubt it. But hey, anyway.
If you are, good for you. Yeah, if you're still alive.
Good for you, because I don't think he would be. Anyway, you know, he used to talk about leaving the old lady on paper.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about? That was a new concept to me, you know. And he says, yeah, I still live there. But, you know, when they're coming around to check things out, I got to pack my stuff up and look like I'm not there. And he goes, you know, and there's a lot of that I'm sure does go on, yeah. Quite a bit of it. But, you know, I had a girl one time that was, bless her heart, she's no longer with us. She was a heroin addict. And she told me that, you know, when they got their food card, there was actually, at that time, there was a drug dealer that would actually take their food card. He had an outlet for it, so he would take it and give them heroin in exchange for the food card. I thought, wow, you know. But the sad thing is, though, now there's kids that need the food, and it's not there. So, you know, I say that, you know, hey, let's go after them. Let's prosecute those people that are doing it. Let's try to chase all that stuff down. But in the meantime, let's try to take care of those kids that are still going hungry.
Well, and that's the problem, I think, a lot of times, is you don't want anybody to go without food.
No.
And so that's the bottom line. But, yeah, I just found that fascinating that you would – because I guess the other issues are more juicy to people. But, yeah, that people don't report – you know, like if you have a roommate who moves in, you don't report that you're receiving rent from them. And I thought that's interesting because I bet that does happen a lot.
Oh.
And I bet it does happen unintentionally.
I'll tell you what happens. Anything that can happen – that has entered the mind of them that they can get away with, people will do it.
Yeah.
And it's sad that they do. You know, in the summertime, my wife spends her summer cooking and making summer lunch for the kids in town. Anybody that needs it. And anybody over, I think it's 62 or 3 also. If you need a lunch, you show up at between 11 and 12:30 and you have a lunch every day during the week. And why does she do that? Because people need it. And I'm not patting her on the back or I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that, you know, we all can do that kind of stuff. Can't we? Really? I mean, I hear people constantly harping about what someone's doing politically when it comes to the poor or not doing. I'd rather see people in action doing. And I'm not... You know, that needs reported on more, too. The amount of people – we have a lot of people in this community that are out there helping people, really are, in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I think we just need – I think one of the things that's hurt us in our communities completely is – and we've talked about this before, probably many times knowing me – I struggle with the fact that we've all gone to these large churches now. Where it used to be, there was a church on every 5 blocks, there was a church. And the people in that church knew the people in that 5-block area. And when someone died, when someone was sick, when someone lost a job, when someone was struggling, someone in that, they were community churches, people knew it. And we did the things that now we expect the government to do. You know, people stepped up to help and they were there for those people. If your kid was doing something bad, you went to their parents. We don't have that stuff anymore. Everyone just minds their own business and does their own thing. And I said one time on the show that if anyone has a desire to start a church, a small community church in their neighborhood, please get a hold of me. I'll be glad to help them, show them the ropes to get it done, because the more we have, the better. And I think that if we had those community churches back, it would definitely have an impact on our community. It really, a positive impact. I believe that.
Well, one of the things that's fascinating to me when we talk about outreach and things of that nature, I'm always fascinated. One of the most overrun groups in usually any community is the homeless shelter. They're always
busy. I just
saw
something in Columbus that they were running over, I forget what it was, like 1,000 people a night or something. Yeah. It was insane.
And the Marion Homeless Shelter always has more people in need than they can fill. And you have to, everybody has to leave during the day because they have to clean the place. And in the winter, that can be rough in Marion, Ohio. And what's fascinating to me is the homeless shelter is never an organization that can raise a lot of money. It's never the flashy organization. Now, people will do they'll do wine tastings for college things and endowments, and you know, and I don't begrudge them if they can do it and they can get the money for that. Good for them. But the homeless shelter is never the flashy thing. It's never the thing that can raise a lot of money in that way.
It's funny. I was telling a guy just last week that is a very large landowner. And I said, you know, I said, if you would sell, and I was just in conversation about this, not asking him to do it. I said, you know, if you'd sell 1 acre of that ground, I said, you could fund our food program at the church for 2 years. For 2 years. And he's got a few thousand acres of ground. And I'm thinking, you know, would that hurt him? You know that it wouldn't. Not at all. But you're right. They don't. They want to go. You know, there's nothing flashy or cool about a homeless shelter.
No.
You know what I mean? It just didn't. And everybody, most people feel those people are there and it's their fault. Right? So why am I going to help you? They're just a bunch of winos and street bums. I mean, you know, I've heard this stuff. And it's not. I didn't just say that it was. Don't take my words out of context. But what I'm saying is that you know, look at. Do you live in a home, Matt?
Yeah.
You still live at your.
No, no, no.
No, I mean, you have your own place?
Yeah.
You have your own place. Mm-hmm. And just you?
Yeah. Well, my brother helps me pay bills, but I'm the only one that actually lives there because, I don't know, my parents wake him up for work.
But I guess what I'm getting at is the reason I asked you that question is. I hope you have a good job. I don't know how you afford it. I mean, I don't know how anyone's affording, you know, the housing today if they're by themselves, especially the elderly. We're finding elderly with no place to live sometimes. I mean, what's the lowest rent right now, would you guess, in Marion?
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, you might find a place for $800, but yeah. It's rare.
I was going to say $800 a month. If you're getting a Social Security check for $1,200 a month or at $900 a month, like a lot of people do, can you please tell me, how are you living? I mean, you can get subsidized housing, but it's full and the lists are mile long. So that's why our shelters are filling up. I mean, we just have, you know, a lot of people, yeah, granted, they failed to plan. But some people were so busy living hand-to-mouth their whole life, they couldn't plan. You know, they couldn't put money back. They couldn't plan for retirement. Some people do not have the mental capacity to make good money and to do those things. And, you know, bless our heart, that's their way. But I don't – it's difficult. And for people to think – I've heard this so many times that, well, if they don't have anything, it's just their own fault. They didn't do it. Well, that's coming from a person that didn't have trouble doing it on their own. And there's people that do. There's people that struggle with relationships, with holding jobs, because of some mental condition or whatever the case. And we have to understand that I'm not making an excuse and saying we need to feed everybody no matter what they do. What I'm saying is we need to be more caring, more loving, more understanding, and help people with a leg up anytime we can and make sure that we're taking on the basic needs. You know, when the Bible talks about feeding the poor, and it does, that reminds me of something. You said something about people doing the flashy stuff. Do you know the story in the Bible about the rich young ruler?
No.
He came to Jesus and said, you know, what must I do? You know, what must I do to be saved? How do I follow you? I mean, how do I... And Jesus said, do all the Ten Commandments, knowing the guy. Guy said, all that I do, which is a lie, I know what I could do that. And they said, okay, well, how about you sell everything you have and give it to the poor? And the guy went away very sad. So in the story, Jesus is offering a beautiful eternity, but you got to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the guy wasn't willing to do it. For a temporal life here, he wanted everything. And I think there's a good lesson in that. You know, are we willing to... Look, when you give of yourself to other people and put other people before yourself, there is a very positive outcome to it. If you're going to hoard money for yourself and build up riches, I've been to a lot of those people's funerals. I'm telling you guys, there's not a lot of people there. But if you got somebody that always loves people and puts people first and is out there helping people, it breaks people's hearts when they're gone. And all they have to do is flood good things about them. And so, ultimately, doesn't it make more sense to do what's right? I mean, it's going to come back. That will reciprocate. If you truly do things from your heart that are kind and in the right way, people are going to love you for it. Now there's going to be some people that, there's going to be some people like a certain caller we had that's always going to find something to nail you for because that's all they want to do. But people that I'm with you, Scott, you know, the big corporate donations, I'll tell you one that I find interesting. This is very interesting to me. For years, I've heard people in the church and a lot of people, a good majority of our population, I think, have made the comment, everything went to pot when we took prayer out of the schools. We took God out of the schools, everything went to pot. Well, when the LifeWise program started, which was, it's only about in its fourth year, Joel Pinton's done an amazing job with that, and they're in over 1,000 schools now. But what it is release time. And back in the, believe it or not, in the 50s, when they were making changes in the schools about not allowing religion in, they said, we still have to allow that teaching. We've always had it. People want it for their kids. If we're going to teach one side, we got to have the other side available. They said, however, you can't do it on school grounds. But we will allow kids to be released for a couple hours a week to be taught religious education. That's been on the books. No one ever got on it. Well, Joel Pinton picked this up. There was already a group in Northern Ohio doing it that had been doing it for a while. And they did it in a very professional way. And now, of course, we have LifeWise Academy in several of the Marion County schools. And what it is, they have a somewhere off school grounds. And they come in. And I know, like at Elgin, we use a free period. We use a lunch period and like a recess period together. And the kids are have a sack lunch that day. And they're released, and you take them to somewhere, and you sit down, and you teach them a Bible lesson, and you teach them about the things they're not learning in school, and then you bring them back. Now, it isn't a forced thing. It is a thing where, A, does the kid want to do it, and does the parent want to do it, and it's the and they're the ones that say, take my kid out. So it's not so much bringing church into the school, it's allowing the kids to be released for a period of time to do that where it doesn't cut into their educational time. And it's really growing in the schools that it's got into. Suddenly there's a lot of kids, grades coming up that weren't so far because of things that are being taught, some of those solid values. Kids are liking it. Some schools are up to 90% of their kids that want to come to it. But it's not a forced thing. But what I'm getting at is this. For all the people over these years saying, boy, if they would just get the Bible back and wait to teach you, you've heard it. And I certainly have heard it a lot. And I've agreed with it. Well, now here's something that gives them that opportunity. How many people do you think are willing to jump forward and support it? Because it's not cheap to do that. I mean, you've got to provide transportation, you've got to provide proper teaching, vetting, materials. I mean, it's kind of like running a mini school. But you people wanted this stuff for years. Where's the support we need? Now, we do have support. You donors out there, thank God for every one of you. But man, do we need more.
Well, isn't that the fascinating thing, though? And this is how I feel about most things. Most things, especially this issue as well, as much as the homeless shelter, is that, you know, most people will make the comment like there is some big divide about should religion be taught, should people be allowed to pray in school and that sort of thing. 99% of people don't have a feeling on it. If you did it, they wouldn't try to stop you. If you didn't do it, they wouldn't. There's one group of people on both sides who are so, it must be done or it must not be done. The general consensus in the middle is not going to run out. I mean,
But at the same time, I see what you're saying, Scott. But at the same time, you know that sometimes that squeaky wheel can be real loud.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, that's part of the, when we started this LifeWise program in our district, There was one guy that just badgered us to pieces. You know, he would get on the community pages and just rail up and down. And first of all, he did not know the legalities of anything, but it was just on and on and on. And honestly, some of those social pages, even though they weren't church pages, they had to block the guy because he was just, you know, raising a fuss all the time and carrying on about it. And those are the people that cause a lot of the issues to suddenly get loud. Once it gets so loud, then the media picks it up.
Well, you know what's funny? Two things here in Marion, they're just very quick. Harding High School, and I forget the class, but a long time ago, you know, 50s, I believe 50s or 60s, their gift to Harding High School was a plaque with the Ten Commandments on it. It hung in Harding High School for years until, I think, 2014, 15. Nobody ever said a thing. All the thousands of kids in the 90s and 80s and 2000s never said anything. No parent ever said anything. One said something, it had to come down. Now, again, all 99% of the people never cared in 50 years that it was there.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Okay, we're a democracy in this country. Actually, you know, we're a constitutional republic is what we are. Shouldn't we be taking care? I mean, you have to make sure people don't fall through the cracks. But shouldn't we basically be doing what the 99% want to do?
Well, yeah, and I think that's...
And why do we always have to cater to a loudmouth?
Well, and that's the problem. And also the other thing, you know, the separation of church and state. Well, if you go to a city council meeting in Marion and have for a long time, do most people know that they open with a prayer?
Sure.
Once the meeting has started?
That's a whole other issue for a whole other show, separation of church and state.
But I just...
Because I think it's been way misused.
I've never...
In its original intent.
But they will make it out to be such a wedge issue. I've never seen anybody walk out of the meeting or not stand for the prayer when it's called for in the beginning of the meeting.
Well, I'll give you an example. I haven't either. I'll just say that. I know that, you know, we have, like... One of the events every year at all the schools in America is called See You at the Pole. And it's on a morning. Anybody that would like to pray, so what it's about, you come at a certain time around the flagpole and you stand around. It can be teachers, students, anyone. And, of course, in the way that our Constitution works and the way the law works, I should say, not the Constitution, but the law works, is it has to be student-led. If it's student-led, an adult can do it, but an adult can't go into the school and promote them to pray. But it's very well attended in most schools, and kids do. They stand around, they pray for their school, they pray for their... You know, one of the biggest things I hear kids pray for? Our leaders.
That's good.
Our leaders. But you know what? I don't see people out there protesting. I'm sure it happens. But I don't, you know, we don't have people going saying, you don't have right to pray, scream, you know. But, you know, some people would make it look like that's what's going on in the whole country, and it's not.
No, and the thing of it is, see, this is one of those things that's been completely turned around over the years. Now, and I think most people do agree with this, that we should not force you to do it. I mean, if you get up when they the prayer at city council and you're singing a song in your head, okay, whatever. Or if you did walk out quietly, okay. I mean, that's your business. But the forcing is where this became an issue in the beginning, and then somehow it turned into everybody's against it, which it really was never that way, and which you can see it
so
in all these places.
So let me ask you a question. Why is it that in many of our inner city schools in different parts of the country, the Muslim students are allowed to have time out to do their prayer time and those kind of things? You know, wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing? And, you know, honestly, my point is, why not let people practice their faith as they will? Now, if it's disrupting, for one thing, it can't. It's just like the LifeWise program. We take the kids out of the school to teach. No one's in the school disrupting anything or forcing anybody to do something they don't want to do. You know, this is a total volunteer program. And the parents fill out an application that are, you know, kids are accepted. You know, if there's a kid that really doesn't want to go, he probably didn't come back. But I don't see, I'm with you. I don't see the issue unless someone's being, and nobody should be forced to do something contrary to what they believe. I will tell you this, if you go to a lot of the countries in the Middle East, religion is forced. It is true.
Oh, absolutely.
Forced. And it, to death, you convert or else. We don't have that in this country. But some people would like to say that's what you're trying to do, and it's not. But my point is that we should never do anything that's forced, but it should be definitely be allowed.
Oh, of course.
And I think it is.
And I think it is.
If I'm in a lunchroom and I'm aiding at the school and I'm helping kids with their lunches, I'll see a kid bow his head quietly before he eats. I know what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you, I can guarantee you, again, we're in Marion. If we're in Marion or Prospect or LaRue or any of these places, Upper Sandusky, if somebody, if a preacher, minister, pastor, father, whatever, went into a school and did anything like this and a school administrator threw them out or tried to stop it, I can guarantee you that would be on the news.
Oh,
people
sure.
would find that wrong.
Right.
Just as if a minister were trying to force a kid to pray. They would find that wrong. It's freedom. That's America. You know, that's freedom. And so the fact that these people claim that these things go on, people will usually go out of their way to avoid causing a problem like
I'll
that.
I'll say this, though, Scott. We have to look at where we are demographically, too. There are places in the United States where it's much different than where we are.
Oh, that's true.
Oregon, much yeah. different than where we are.
Yeah.
And I think Oregon's a beautiful, Portland's beautiful. But anyway, I mean, the area, I love the country, but man, they can really rock and roll over there. But you know what I mean. I'll give you an example. I had a kid come up to me on the sidelines of a football game a couple weeks ago. I've had it a few times. And they'll be in the middle of the game, and they'll come up with their arm around me and say, "Hey, Pastor Steve, pray for me real quick. Pray with me real quick." What am I supposed to do? I pray with them. And the point is, that student asked me to do that. There's nothing that anybody could say anywhere, even in Portland, Oregon, they could not say that I could not do that because that student had asked me to do it. And I think that's wonderful that they do it. It's wonderful when these kids come together at the end of a ball game and take a knee and say a prayer. That's wonderful. They're exercising their free right as they are given in this country to do. And we stop being allowed to exercise our free rights. Now things get a little bit dicey.
Well, I mean, if I saw that going on in a school, I mean, I would have a problem with it because I don't understand why it's important to stop somebody from doing something of their own free will that doesn't hurt them. You know, that's the whole idea of a school, is that, you know, we are there to try to teach the best we can without you hurting yourself. But if you do something and it's not being forced upon you, then we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people that are just negative Nellies, Karens out there, they'll talk about... I never understood that term, Karen. I guess I do.
You know, I don't. Somebody said
don't
that recently.
Poor Karen took a ride, didn't she?
Your name's Karen. You're really in trouble.
You're really in trouble. I used to know some pretty nice Karens growing up. But anyway, and still do. But anyway, there's people say, we can't. These kids won't even stand and for the flag anymore. You know, let me tell you something. When the band plays the national anthem at school, every kid is standing there.
Oh.
They remove their hats. A lot of them put their hand on their heart. Some don't. It's okay. Because maybe they haven't been taught that they should do that, but some even sing. But people have a tendency to take the negative and over exaggerate it, and then sometimes it stops people from doing what they would normally do anyway. And we got to understand, just do it.
Well, I can tell you, in the press box when they play the national anthem, we all stand in the press box and nobody can see us.
I know we were walking over from the locker room to the field one day, and at a school, and you know, sometimes if we're running a couple minutes late, they'll start at the national anthem, and we'll stop right where we're at, salute, and look towards that direction.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I was real impressed a couple years ago. I was at Marysville football game. My grandson was in the band, and we have granddaughter too, I think, at that time. But anyway, I was at the school, and it's a pretty big school. And their track, they have a separate track, which is on the back side, on the other side of the stadium. And there were kids practicing track while this was going on. And they started the national anthem. Those kids stopped on the track, clear over on the track where they were at, separate facility, and turned around and faced the flag and stood there until it was over with. And I thought, I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
So it's not as bad as we, but like I said, have said all along, in the about the whole pornography thing, and it follows suit with everything. We have to make a concerted effort to keep this country the country we started with, and the country that has freedom and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and quit trying to destroy the things that are probably part of our fabric that has made us the great country we are. You know, we're still a country. I hear everybody talk about how bad it is here. Go somewhere else.
Well, you know, and you know something.
I'm not telling them to go there. I'm saying try living the way you can live here. Somewhere else can't do it.
Well, you know something that's interesting, and it's too long to tell the whole story, but people can look it up. It's Googleable. It's a famous story. You know, this all started with the Jehovah's Witness boy, and it was a true story, and it did go before the Supreme Court. And it was the Jehovah's Witness child who was in the school who every day they wanted to say the Pledge of Allegiance. This is when they did the pledge every day in school. And the parents told the boy, child, not to do it because Jehovah's Witness don't salute false idols. Don't do the Pledge of Allegiance. The school wanted this kid to do, or the teacher in the school wanted him to do the Pledge of Allegiance. It went all through lawsuits. The kid was getting beat up. I mean, it was not a pleasant time. This is in the 50s. The kid went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court justice said, you obey your parents. And that's where a lot of, but that was one case. But it was one case that got a lot of attention. And it was one of those cases where, for what, I can't even remember where that school was. I don't know why they were doing that, but it happened. It's unfortunate it happened.
What?
That the kid was being forced
being
to do
forced
this.
To do it, yeah.
And that's what, but like I said, 99% of the places, it doesn't happen like that. And that's the truth.
Well, we were talking the other day at breakfast, and one of the ladies I was talking to, she was a librarian at Elgin for many, 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 many years. And she's been retired many, 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 many years. But she was telling me when she was a kid, we were talking about they would have religious instruction. And I remember when I was in fifth grade down on Mount Sterling in those schools down there, Reverend McNeely, he was the Nazarene minister, would come every Friday and he'd go from class to class and have a little Bible lesson. People can't believe that actually happened in public school. But she was telling me, this lady was telling me, Rita, she was saying that you know, I was a Catholic girl. So when this guy would come and teach in the class, I went outside and sat in my chair because my parents didn't want me being taught by someone that wasn't Catholic. And but it wasn't a big deal. They just did it.
Right.
And you know, quit trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is I think in all these stories, the Jehovah's Witness and the story you just told about the girl going out in the hallway because she was Catholic, here's the thing. I honestly think this is all more personality driven. I think that same person would be one of those people, well, if you don't like peanut butter, you're still going to eat that peanut butter sandwich. They're personality driven. They want everything to be uniform and everything to be their way or the highway. Whether it's something trivial like food or...
Don't they know that God doesn't even make us that way?
Exactly.
We're not robots.
No, but they get that idea.
They gotta look like Matt.
That's right. They get that idea stuck in their head, and then it does cause a problem because they... You know, if you have 30 kids in the class who are all fine and it's good and some step out and some do it, but you pick on that one kid. It's not a good look, no matter who you are, when an adult picks on a kid.
Here's what's interesting, though. We're running out of time. How that?
That was a nice, easy show, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, that guy didn't call in. But anyway, if the teacher doesn't make a big deal, I remember having a couple kids when I was in elementary school that did some things different. We had a little Japanese girl that did things different. The kids just recognized something was different, and they might be inquisitive about it, but they weren't mean about it.
No.
It only becomes mean when someone else points it out and makes it mean.
That's right.
And the kids normally won't even do it. They just recognize, well, she's this, she doesn't do this, and they just leave it at that. You know what I mean? And why do we always have to, you know, you get it. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the point. And I think that's what it is. I think a lot of times, once you create the scene is the problem. Kids amongst themselves, a lot of times kids will explain to their friends, they'll say, well, why is he going out in the hall? Well, he's, because da-da-da-da-da. And that's no problem.
And they leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, this.
And they don't get on the kid. You're a rotten Catholic.
No. And it's. I mean, it's the same thing. I've seen people do this because you know the. I don't know. Apparently, we didn't have peanut allergies 30 years ago, but now we've got peanut allergies.
Do we ever?
We've got.
My wife packs these lunches. I'm talking about these kids.
Oh boy.
Oh man, she's a Gestapo.
You want a real problem in school? It's peanuts.
She won't let anyone help her because of that.
But it's ironic because that happens all the time. You know, peanut butter cookies come out, or peanut butter and celery, and they'll say, you know, why does Johnny have a cupcake? Well, because he can't have peanut butter. The kids explain it. The parent, the teacher doesn't have to do that. And it's the same thing. And unfortunately, anytime it's something that people, you know, want to fight about, they fight about it. They don't want to fight about peanut allergies.
I guess so. And there are, it seems to be getting more and more allergies all the time.
Yeah.
It's really getting crazy.
Yep.
Hey, it's been a good show.
It's been a good show, and we'll do it again next week. Stay tuned. We'll be back, and Pastor Whitaker will be back next Friday, 11:15 to 12 on this station.
It was successful.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
Oh, there's two Marlas.